Well, let's turn to a memory verse, and we're going to take a look at page 10 if you need help. If not, you have your cards or your Bible. And it talks about walking as well. And the word walking literally is the practice of our Christian faith in life. That's the idea behind walking. So it's not an armchair Christian kind of faith. It's, you know, this is my faith. Well, how do I see that in real life? Okay, here we go. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Well, this is a challenge to walk in Christ. This morning, we're going to take up the topic on walking in wisdom, and we want to take a look at the challenge to walk worthy in this particular text in Ephesians 4:1. Once again, Ephesians 4:1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Okay, not very many people are walking today. Well, let's try sleepwalking, maybe. Well, let's pick up this challenge this morning to look at this topic in Colossians, in chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4, we read this text that talks about how to walk in wisdom. Chapter 4 and verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Well, that the last part of it is going to be the theme of our youth conference at the end of the year, where we want to learn how we may give an answer to people who ask us about our faith. So it will be a very challenging time to study how we can defend our faith. But the challenge to walk in wisdom is certainly very, very real and very strong. Now, if we're going to have to walk and live this life, how would you like to live this life? If all the words, there are many, many things that you would like to choose from, and out of them a whole lot, what would you choose? Would you say, well, I like to choose to walk, say, in health? For some people, spend a lot of time looking at how to develop their biceps and their triceps and their quadriceps. Some people just simply take cordyceps in order to be healthy, right? By the way, there is a psychological problem there. If people are always overly focused on these things here, they end up, you know, looking at the things here, and they're never satisfied with whatever it is that they have. We call them SEPs. You didn't get that one down. No, seriously, surely life has got to be more than just being physically well built. Okay, that's for the guys. If girls take that way, wow, they're very scary to me. Every time I see pictures of a lady bodybuilder, I get a little bit concerned. Well, I am very afraid that she might just stretch her hand and somebody falls on the floor, and I don't want to be mean. Well, there's nothing wrong with itself, of course. You know, you mustn't think that there's anything that's wrong. No, it's not. It's just, what's my focus? What do I want to do? Some people pursue health. Some people pursue wealth. And they'll do anything just to be wealthy, including stupid things. So from time to time, you see people who say, you know, I got this gold bar. Would you like to buy it? And people buy those stuff, and then they realize that actually it's false. It's fool's gold. and people get cheated, and that is so unfortunate. What would you look for? And the challenge, Paul says, is to walk in wisdom. To those who are outside, when you are out there, when people look at you, how do they see you? Are you distinguishable from the next person? That is your challenge. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. How do you know that you're walking in wisdom? Paul reminds them. How you use your time reflects your wisdom. How do you use your time? As I said earlier, at our pre-worship, every time I see somebody dying, and I see a lot of people dying every year, and I ask myself, how do I want to die? I will die. How do I want to live before I die? And a lot of people haven't thought of that very much. How do you want to live before you die? What do you want to be known for? Paul tells us, walk in wisdom. Redeem your time. Let your speech always be with grace. Not everybody, today we read about the person who went to say vulgar things in a security detail at a prime minister's office, and he was asked to go. Cannot we speak without using a swear word? My old school teacher said that those who have to resort to such words are simply people who lack ability to speak well. A person who can speak well does not need to resort to all sorts of things. One day there was a man who was charged in court by a person who had royal status. The reason is because he called her a cow. You know, he didn't like her, so he called her a cow. So he was found guilty. You should not have called her ladyship a cow. So he paid the fine. Then he asked the judge, well, can I call the cow your grace? And the judge said, of course. And then he saw the lady and said, your grace. Let your speech be with, this can no grace, but seasoned with plenty of salt. It takes much to speak wisely. It really does. You know, it really is a challenging thing to find words. But it is a great challenge, is it not, to find wisdom to do that? Especially, you want to know how you ought to answer each one. And there are lots of people who will ask you, what do you think of this? Why do you believe in this? Why do you believe in that? What's your answer? And for many people, there is no answer. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we have the wisdom to say, this is the answer. Have you considered this? It would be a great challenge. I think we really ought to be challenged to, as much as we are challenged to walk in wisdom, to pray for wisdom. You know, sometimes you look at it and you just wonder why it is. We all come to church every Sunday. We go to some scary Sunday school classes where, you know, the teachers challenge us to think thoughts we've never dared to think. And some lessons, they're not to say a word. They're not to look up just in case the teacher asks you, what do you think? Well, we all have been to those scary classes. We have been to those scary Sunday school. We've had scary Sunday school teachers too. I speak of myself, of course. All the others are wonderful teachers. except me. I'm the one who scares people to death. But I really believe some people need to be scared to death, you see. Otherwise, should be scared to near death. Scared to death, then I have to bury you. I would prefer to just scare you to near death, and then you wake up instead. But have you ever thought about praying for wisdom? I mean, have you really thought, give me wisdom? Have you ever prayed that prayer? Colossians 1, same epistle that Paul wrote. In chapter 4, he says, walk in wisdom. But in chapter 1, he prayed for wisdom. Have you ever prayed for wisdom? And I think we should really consider this idea of praying for wisdom, because we need it so badly. I like Paul's prayer for wisdom. Let's take a look. Colossians, the first chapter. He said, I do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Have you ever prayed for wisdom? At this point of time, we are preparing the different people, the committee members, to prepare to serve at the junior camp. And we are looking at the life of King David, especially in his younger years. But there was a king before David, and his name was Saul. And he was a king who could have made something out of his life, life significantly. Out of nowhere, he became king. The people loved him, people trusted him, people supported him, people gave to him everything that he could ask for to be successful as a king. I mean, it was a landslide victory of sorts. He was made king. He was a popular king. But he didn't have wisdom. Instead of building an army to protect the land, he built an army, an elite army, to protect himself and to hunt David. And he, towards the end of his life, this is in 1 Samuel chapter 26, this is one of those things which I really, really was very struck by when I was reading this text when I was much younger. 1 Samuel 26. And so David is on a run, and here comes Saul with his men, 3,000 of them. They are looking for him. And then David sees Saul, and he could have killed him, but he did not. And David said, in verse 18 we read, why does my Lord thus pursue his servant? What have I done? What evil is in my hand? Therefore, please let my Lord the King hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. If it is the children of men, may they be cursed before the Lord. They have driven me out this day from sharing in the inheritance of the Lord. So now, do not let my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come to seek a flea, as when one hunts a partridge in the mountains. Can you imagine the words of wisdom of a young man called David? What are you looking for, King Saul? You're looking at a flea. What's a flea? What's the worth of a flea? I'm not your enemy, Saul. If God had sent you to kill me, I would have made an offering and appeased God. But if there are people who are telling you, the children of man who are telling you, the best thing you can do to secure your kingdom is to kill King David. Well, let me tell you, that kind of wisdom is worth nothing. And so King Saul said, verse 21, I have sinned. Return, my son David. I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. You know, this verse is stuck in my mind since I was a kid. What a terrible thing to say. What is this thing, the lack of wisdom? I have sinned. Two, I have played the fool. Three, I have erred exceedingly. This is the opposite of wisdom. And we need to consider our life. How have we lived our life? We live a life of sin, and it will reflect a lack of wisdom. We play the fool, or the part of the fool, and we will lack the wisdom. How are we living this life? If we keep on erring exceedingly, then we are fools. How do we want to live this life? At the end of his life, King Saul wasted his life completely. He ended up with suicide. He ended up with his sword bearer killing him, helping him to kill himself, basically. Could we do better than that? You know, the direction you are walking on will already tell you whether that path is a path of wisdom or whether it is a path of foolishness. It's not just how we walk, it's the very path we choose. If there is a path that we must choose, let it be the path of wisdom. What do we pray for? I like what Paul prayed for. He said, I'm praying for you that you will have knowledge of God. There is nothing more wonderful than to see a mind increasing in the knowledge of God. Some people fear that, well, if I study too much, I will go crazy. Far from it. If you don't study anything, you're already crazy. I mean, this is true. That knowledge of God is such a wonderful thing. 40 years later, and there is still so much more to learn and to discover. Wisdom is to know God. Go on further. Colossians 1. He said that you may know, have knowledge of His will. It's not enough to know God. It is even more important to know what His will is. Have you ever asked to know what God's will is? Have you ever asked? Really, it's so important. A lot of times, you know, young people, they decide that this is God's will. Later, years later on, they begin to realize, well, I have chosen wrongly. Now, to everyone who is thinking and you are at a crossroads of life, it's good to ask yourself, is this God's will? Knowledge of His will is something that we must pursue. But knowledge of God's will is not the same as having wisdom. Because you need to know, this is knowledge, this is His will, how do I in wisdom take it up? This is the challenge all the time. And Paul says there must be spiritual understanding. And that's what wisdom is all about. There is a depth of life, there is a spiritual understanding of it all, which is absolutely important. There's something that we must consider. Well, this coming weekend, we are going to look at the YG retreat, and we're going to learn many deep lessons. And we're going to share with as many people as are interested in learning, how do you study a church project like this, if we call it Bethany 4? How do we see the Lord's leading? How do we understand where, how God is going to do it? knowledge is important. Wisdom, spiritual understanding is absolutely critical. We built the same place right over here. Are we going to repeat it again? Or do we look elsewhere? How do we discern the Lord's leading? So many things to consider. And that's why Paul had to say, pray for that wisdom to understand. And it is not easy to understand. You know, you can look at the Bible, stare at the Bible in front of you, read it for all it is worth, and not understand it. You can have faith and not understand life. You can have experience and not have wisdom. And it is hard to find that wisdom. That's why Paul talked about praying for that wisdom. He prayed for wisdom for the Colossians. He prayed for wisdom for the Ephesians. He prayed for wisdom again for the Philippians. He prayed for wisdom for the Corinthians. Everywhere he prayed for people, his prayer would be, let's pray for wisdom. Have you ever prayed for wisdom to understand? And it's because we don't have that knowledge. We don't know His will. We don't have His wisdom. That's why so much of life is just such a mess. We can't find the joy, we can't find the happiness, we can't find all the things that we so long for. What happened? Why aren't we happy? It's a sad reality. Chinky was speaking at the teens worship, and she shared with me one of the things that she will be speaking on. And she was talking about Katy Perry, daughter of a pastor in the U.S., how she came up and outrightly, publicly denounced her faith. In one of the gigs that she had, she just talked about what it means to be, it is a number called the Dark Horse. And it is truly occultic in every sense of the word. What happened? How could it happen that way? At one of the Grammy Awards festivals, there was a person who was there, and her name, she was nominated. And in her nomination to be a Grammy Award winner, she saw these things, and she refused to be there, part of that scene. Natalie Grant, Grammy Award nominee, walked out and was attacked severely. How come? And she says very clearly, I know whom I believe, and I am not ashamed. Can you imagine? So everybody talked to berated her as being intolerant and everything else. No, she was not being intolerant. She's saying, this is my faith. Just because somebody else wants to throw away her faith does not mean I have to do the same. And I stand tall, and I stand proud. This is my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I walk in wisdom. So we have two people who are bright lights out there in the music industry. And one chooses to reject Jesus, and one says, this is my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One walks in wisdom, and one walks in total darkness. Now this is something that we all need to consider. So for the young people, to those of us who are older, we have to ask ourselves, do we have that wisdom to know what to do? We live in a world where there is just so much to choose from. And everybody looks at you and tells you, this is what to do, this is what to do, this is what not to do. And sometimes we just pick the wisdom of the world and we say, well, why not? Everybody does it. But there is a wisdom to be found in Christ. There is a wisdom to be found in the knowledge of His Word and of His will that makes us different. That is that wisdom that Paul is talking about. If we really understand our faith, let's try and look for that spiritual wisdom that we need to find in our life. I must tell you that every time I see people die, and I see an older person die, I accept this person is much older and will die. But when I see someone who dies who is my age, then I sit up. I sit up and I ask myself, how should I live? When I see a person who is younger and that person dies, then I ask myself again, how should I live? And always there is that one answer. Walk in wisdom. And I will search that wisdom. I will seek that wisdom. I want to. I need to. Wisdom in a physical sense of the word, my health. Wisdom with reference to my time. I don't have a whole lot of it left. Wisdom in terms of how I want to focus the energies of my life, whatever else I may have left of it. And I think all of us ought to be greatly, greatly challenged to make this our prayer, that we may walk in wisdom. Because if we don't, we could end up like King Saul. I have erred exceedingly. I have played the fool. And he knew that he messed up his life. Let's not mess up our own life. Let's really live for the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to walk in wisdom. And we want to apply our hearts to wisdom indeed. We pray that you will grant to us that wisdom from on high, that will enable us to make our lives count for something. We pray that you would bless today, this evening's vigil service. May we come so that our hearts may learn wisdom where we face life and face death. We pray that you will teach us wisdom, to walk in wisdom always. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give a love to you for the Lord's work. Amen. Now may this great God of wisdom open our minds, our hearts, to learning your ways. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be given to us to enable us to be touched again, that we may not see men as trees walking, but we will see clearly. May the Spirit of God, who gives wisdom, enable us to find that wisdom, to order our lives aright, that we may give our very best to live this life well, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.